you think about this world, we understand that God's in control. Yesterday, we had a great time. Went off with the senior saints, and Brother Terry drove up to Chapel Hill, went to the planetarium, first time in 69 years I've ever been. But I enjoyed it. And when we were coming out, and they, of course, had done a presentation, and you get some just small perspective of how little we are, how big God is, and how big a universe He's created, and the awesomeness of His creation. Understand, that couldn't just happen. It's intelligent design. There's a God. He said, let us make man in our image, but He also created all things. Bible said, not anything was made without Him, and by Him all things consist. It continues on and on. And I can't remember if Brother Ray or somebody, as we were leaving out, said it just confirmed what we already knew. We've got a big God. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. But that was a great trip. I enjoyed that and appreciate that. But you understand that we are not here to live forever. God has a plan for this whole universe. He didn't wind us up like a clock and now allowing us to run down. He has an ultimate plan in for all of this age that we call the age of grace until the end, He said, of the age. He said in Matthew, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I'm with you even until the end of the world. And it really means age. So there's coming an end. There's a timetable set. There was a certain time that Christ was going to be born, and He was born. And God had prophesied His death, burial, and resurrection, all of that. There's also a time appointed when He's coming back in what we call the rapture. We talked about that last week. But the whole book of Revelation details events that are going to occur. Things are not going to continue on like they are now. And I know in the book of 1 Peter, Peter writes and says this, that in the last days there'll be scoffers who will say, where's the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were. And that's typical. And we understand that. But now we are, I believe, in the last days. And God has a time plan. And I want to deal with what I consider and what I believe the Word of God teaches to be the second part of an unfolding future for us. In 1 Thessalonians, we preached last week on the rapture of the church. And I believe that with all my heart. And in fact, it's in black and white in the Bible. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, sent Him back to the Father, when He met with His disciples, according to the first chapter of book of Acts, as He talked with them, the Bible said, He ascended out of their sight. And the angel stood by and said, don't be troubled, don't be anxious, for this same Jesus that's taken from you will so come in like manner. Now, that's a historical fact that really happened. And He's really coming back again. And the first phase of His coming is to come back for the church. He's coming back to the rapture of the church. But I want to read to you a passage of Scripture that I read to you last week and emphasize that for this morning. In 1 Thessalonians, I call your attention to chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, if you mark your Bible, maybe you'd want to underline that. The wrath to come. There's something on the horizon. Most people would say this in their own way. Things cannot continue like they're going. There's coming a time. God has appointed time, and He, according to this passage of Scripture, there's a time of wrath to come. Look over, if you will, please, in chapter number 5 of this same book of 1 Thessalonians and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Go over to chapter 5 and verse number 19. Or verse number 9, rather. Verse number 9. And notice what it says. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There is an appointed time of wrath. God's got it on his timetable. The disciples were anxious to know God's timetable. And so they asked him in his earthly ministry, Lord, when shall all these things come to pass? And he said, there's some things that you're not know, you can discern the season, so and so, but the time of some things in the time of the Father. We don't know exact time. I wouldn't tell you the exact time of the rapture. I can only tell you this. As far as I can decide from the Word of God, there's not one thing to keep Jesus from coming today. Not one thing. Not one thing has to be fulfilled. Many people, and I agree, that the evidence of the Laodicean church and that church age is when Jesus is coming again, and that's when we are now. That's where we are now. Paul admonished them to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, for the time will come that they will not endure sound teaching or preaching, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's the time we're living in now. There are many, the Bible says, who profess Christ or who are religious, but the Bible said they deny the power thereof. And so there we are in that time frame now. There's an appointed time of wrath. Look back in the book of Matthew chapter 24. I'm having you turn to quite a few scriptures to start with, and then we'll concentrate on the book of Revelation. But go back to chapter 24 of Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ is laying out for the disciples a preview of some of the things that's going to be happening in the end time. And some of the chronological order of it and some things that are going to be happening. But in chapter number 24, look at verse number 21 and listen to what it says. And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Nor even shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. He said there's coming a time of great tribulation. Now, this is the Lord speaking. This is recorded. If you have a Bible written and read, this is Jesus. And he said there's coming a time of great tribulation, of great judgment. Now, that word tribulation speaks of great judgment or wrath. And he said it's never been a time like this when it's worldwide. Never been a time since that there's going to be such devastation and such loss of life. It's going to be so severe if those days were not limited, not shortened, but limited, really is what that means, there'd be no flesh saved. Now, what is the time frame of that? I'll say a word about that in a moment. But now I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. We were in 1 Thessalonians, but now go to 2 Thessalonians and let me show you something here. Now, all of this is prefaced to the message, and when I get to sharing with you, we'll not be long. But I want you to understand that we believe that God is still in control. We believe he's still on the throne. He said by him all things consist. He's still in control of everything. And he has a timetable. Things are coming to an end, and there are prophecies about what's going to happen. First being the rapture, that great calling out of the saints of God. But in 2 Thessalonians, he talks about a second phase that's going to occur shortly after that. Look in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I call your attention to verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, that is 1611 King James word there. And we don't use that word a lot anymore, but if you have a marginal reference or if you would run that reference, you'd understand that word means hinder or hold back. He said right now, as wicked as things are, there's something holding it back. Actually, it's not something, it's a someone. He said there is a restraining power that men are not as bad as they could be. The world scene is not as bad as it could be. Now, it's hard for me and you to imagine when we think about all that's going on in the world now. And in our nation now. But he said there's somebody who's really holding the tide back. There's really somebody who's holding back that overflow of wickedness. Verse 7 again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already in the works. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That means that he takes away his restraint. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, the wicked one that's mentioned here, if you studied the Bible and you're familiar with the term, if you're not a Bible student, the Antichrist. There's an Antichrist that's coming on the scene. This world's leading toward a one-world government, toward a one-world economy, and a one-world leader to be revealed at the beginning of the tribulation period, and he will be Antichrist. Then notice what it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now here is a definite event that's going to take place. There's coming a time when he who now hinders or holds back is going to remove that restraint. At that point in time, the wicked one will be revealed. And he'll deceive people with great deceivableness, with signs and wonders and all those things. And he said, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they might, or they should believe a lie. What is the lie? They're going to believe that he is the Messiah. He's the hope. They're going to believe that. They're going to accept that fact. And he said that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. Now, I finished last Sunday with this warning and admonition to everybody listening to me. You have a wonderful opportunity right now. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, whosoever will may come. Anybody in the sound of my voice can be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He's made salvation available to everybody. You do have a time. The Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And he said, right now, you need to trust him. Right now, you need to accept him. But there's coming a day that time will run out. In the days of Noah, God looked on the face of the earth, and it was only wicked continually. And so God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, build the ark. I'm going to send great judgment. But it took him 120 years, and that was all in God's time frame. And the book of Judah said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So for 120 years, while he prepared the ark, he warned people and pleaded with them to repent and trust God and get in the ark. But they refused. And so only Noah, his wife, those eight precious souls were saved out of all of the human race. But they had adequate time. But the Bible says that when God called him out of the ark to go into the ark, God called from inside the ark, said, Noah, come into the ark. When he went in, the Bible said, God closed the door. Read it carefully in the book of Genesis. God closed the door. There was a day when God closed the door on the opportunity for people to be saved. It was too late for them then. There's coming a day it will be too late for you if you've heard the gospel. Too late. And then begins what we call the great tribulation period. He said, God has delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn to the book of Revelation, please, in chapter number 6. In Revelation chapter 6, I'm praying that God will make it real to you and real to me that God's in control. And as wicked men wax worse and worse, as all of this is just building up to a great crescendo, Jesus Christ is still in control. He's not got, everything's not got out of his hand. It's not out of his control. He, as we read in the book of Revelation, there in the book of Romans, he sometimes turns people over to their own lust, to fulfill their own lust. And that's much of what's going on now. God gave them up, he said. And so God is simply allowing this thing to go on. And the Holy Spirit of God, even at that, is holding back the wrath, holding back the wickedness. But he is, that time is coming to an end. Look in, when I talked to you about the rapture the other week, I read to you a picture of the rapture in chapter 4, verse 1. And after this, I looked and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was of a mighty trumpet, of a trumpet, talk with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. That's a picture of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. come up hither. And when God calls us out as saints of God, we're leaving. But then what happens? Then what happens? Then the Holy Spirit backs away from His restraining power. Everything's turned loose. Man's turned loose to do his worst. Oh, wicked, depraved men can do anything they want to. But God has appointed a time of wrath. It's a 7-year period in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. I don't have time to go into all that this morning. But he said, there are 70 weeks determined. There are 70 weeks of years. And the 70th week is pictured in what we call the tribulation period. It's going to be a 7-year period. Then shall be great tribulation, such as the world's never known. That's the tribulation period. Now watch. What happens? The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Many of you have come and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, that Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You've been saved and you love Him and He loves you. You understand He's a God of love. But understand something else. He's a God of justice and He's a God of wrath. And He said there's a day of wrath coming, a day when grace comes to an end and this age comes to an end, and then begins judgment. Everybody's afraid of the Antichrist and afraid of taking the mark and all those things. But if you read carefully the book of Revelation, the one to be feared is not Antichrist, but God Himself. You'll have to answer to Him for everything you've done. And if you reject His Son and trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have to answer for that. And if He were to come today in the rapture of the church and you've had opportunity to hear the gospel, you'll never, ever have a chance to be saved. Watch what happens in the book of Revelation. I'll repeat this in a few moments, but I want to read just the last few verses, verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 15. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Now, this is the whole human race, basically. From the kings to the very poorest, they all hide and flee. From what? From Antichrist? From the great rise of Antichrist, the false prophet? All those? No. Verse 16, "And said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" They here recognize the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, who gave His life a ransom, not willing that any should perish, pleaded with the Father to forgive them. And they've rejected Him. They trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've mocked the Bible. They rejected all of that. And what happens? Now they see Him not as a Savior, but as a great God upon the throne, and the day of His wrath is come. I want to share with you for a few moments about the wrath to come. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would make real what we've read simply from the Bible. Our Father, there's no commentary needed. There's no explanation needed. You've made it very clear through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who's here to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And God, I would pray that God, this morning, that You would do that office work through the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that not one boy or girl or man or woman in the sound of my voice in this building or in the radio audience, our Father, would have to face the Lamb as the wrath and His great wrath. I pray they might know You in Your great grace and Your forgiveness of sin. In this time, in this what we call the age of grace, I pray that they would humbly bow before You and accept You and find a warm welcome and a wonderful pardon as You forgive their sin and all of their sin is washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I pray, God, that You'd help me now. Give me Your anointing and I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. The wrath to come. The time frame, we talked about the rapture of the church. If the rapture of church occurs today, the tribulation technically would begin now. Some people have talked about a time frame and other things that happen, and it's a longer period of time after the rapture. I'm not sure about all of the details, but I do know this, that Jesus Christ is coming again, and if you're saved, you're going to go, and if you're left behind, you face an awful, awful sentence of the wrath of God. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs. This several years ago as I read this, this caught my attention and it challenged me, and I hope it'll challenge you. Listen to what he says in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. That's his call and plead to me and you now. The Holy Spirit of God came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who shows us our lostness. It's the Holy Spirit of God who shows us the Savior. And really, it's the Holy Spirit of God who comes in crying, Abba, Father, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. And he's the one who guides us into all truth. And he said, if you would turn at my reproof, that is repent and receive me, he said, I would forgive your sin, I'd save you. And he said, I would make my words known to you. But verse number 24, because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regard. But you have set at naught all of my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Wouldn't it be an awful thing that when the rapture occurs and your husband's not here, your wife's not here, your children are not here, your friends are not here, that you realize you were wrong? And you say, well, Brother Billy, what I'll do then is I'll fall on my knees and I'll repent and I'll cry and God will save me. No, according to that, he won't. No, he said, I'll laugh at your calamity. And when judgment comes and all of it comes, he said, you would none of my reproof. You have opportunity now. Go back to the book of Revelation. What about those days? I'm simply going to share some scripture with you for the next few moments to let you get an idea of what it might be like. When Jesus Christ comes back, he takes us out of here. Boy, I love that song, weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. And that's what Dan sang about. You're in a time of sorrow now. You're going through heartaches now. You're going through sickness now. You're going through problems now. You have loved ones in heaven that you greatly miss and you grieve over them. But when Jesus comes, all that's over with. There's no more grieving. There's no more sorrow. There's no more sin. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain. And it's a joyous bliss forever for the saints of God. And so we rejoice. We rejoice that God forgave our sin, that we're getting to go to heaven. But we also rejoice in this fact. Paul said, I'm thankful we are not appointed to wrath. I'm thankful that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. That's already a done deal for us. We're going to miss it. We're not going to be here. We're going to leave out in the rapture of the church. But when the church is taken out, what happens? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read to you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. First step is this. The Holy Spirit of God takes his hand off of this universe and off this world. His restraining power. You have been protected and kept by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. No telling what somebody would have done to you. No telling what you would have encountered as a Christian had not God restrained the powers of evil around you. But he did that. He's protected us. He's doing it now. And thank God for that. But there's coming a time. I mean, if there was nothing to keep people from doing exactly what they want to do, I wonder what this world will be like. That's what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit of God takes his hand off of it. We have laws. We have the rule of law in our nation. Laws are debated and voted on and turned over and everything else. But there's the really restraining power is not legislative. It is divine. And God's holding it back right now. But when he takes his hand off of it, the wickedness of man will be manifest like we've never known. And he said it's going to be such a terrible time that God didn't shorten the days or they were not limited, then there'd be no flesh saved. Look in chapter 6. I'll just simply go through what's happening. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals." Now, this is the Lamb of God. And this is what he's beginning to do. There's a series I mentioned last Sunday. Brother Gary Snow did a fantastic job teaching through the book of Revelation about the seals and the vials and the bowls. And really, that's God's judgment. That's God judging this world because of their sin. But now notice what it said. He said in chapter 6, just a few things. Verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, that there was given unto him a great sword." Listen, we live in a wicked world, but we have this morning in this building an oasis of peace. You have peace in your heart. When you go into your home at night, you have an oasis of peace. You get in your car and drive up into the mountains and get away from everything. There's a sense of peace there. But there's coming a time when God will take all peace out of the earth. No peace. No peace in the heart of man. No peace in the mind of man. No physical or natural peace. It'll be total chaos all the time. We've seen just a little glimpse of that when there are things happen, great catastrophes in our nation, when the human nature is released, like if there's an earthquake or if there's a flood and the devastation of that. But in the aftermath of that, you see looters, people who don't care. They run here, there, and everywhere. On our daily news, we hear about people who are killing people all the time around. It's just every day now. But just think, there is an element of peace still. But suppose there was no peace. Suppose that God removed all strength and everybody who wanted to kill somebody killed them. And everybody who was angry would have no qualms, no nothing to restrain them from taking the life of somebody over the least little thing you could ever imagine. When I was working, before God called me to preach, I was working in the cotton mill. And there was a lady in there in that place in my department. I was a supervisor. She didn't come in one day. We learned a horrible story later that day. Her husband, who was an alcoholic and a very wicked man, very abusive to her, that morning she'd had given him some strawberries. He didn't want strawberries. He became enraged, reached to the kitchen counter, picked up a butcher knife, and brutally stabbed her multiple times. They said, I have no idea how many times he stabbed her. He killed her because of strawberries. Can you imagine what it would be like if God took off all the restraint and everybody who wanted to kill somebody did it? There's nothing to keep them from it. And they express their anger and they kill one another, it says in this passage of Scripture. Go a little bit further in chapter 6 and verse 6. "And he said, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil of the wine." And this is a prophecy of great famine in the land. When the saints of God are taken out in the rapture of the church, I wonder how long it would take for there to be total chaos, looting of the grocery stores. If we have a little hurricane come through, you can hardly find any milk on the shelf or any bread on the shelf. People run in and get it all immediately. But if there are no restraints and people are panicking, if across this country there are Christian truck drivers who are taken out and their trucks wreck, all of our guys who drive for Food Line who know the Lord, their truck wrecks and turns over. No food for the grocery stores. How long do you think it'd take before worldwide famine would take over? All the Christian farmers are gone. All those who harvest the crops, all those who ship, process, and all those things, and the food's not distributed. That's what's going to happen. Worldwide famine. Look a little further, if you will, please, in chapter 6, verse 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given to him over 1/4 part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." 1/4 of the earth's population will die in just that quick of those consequences there. Hunger, sword, wild beast. What an awful thing. Devastation. Death like you could never imagine. We've never seen anything to this. We've seen awful devastation almost 3,000 people in New York City, 9/11. It was an awful time. Other places across the world, you've heard of hundreds being killed. In a recent earthquake just the other day, there were several killed. Mass shootings and all those type of things. But can you imagine 1/4 of the earth's population dying in the wrath to come? Look at chapter 16 and verse 12. I'll read a portion of what I began reading a while ago. And I beheld, and when I opened the sixth seal, and when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars fell from heaven into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And then comes the passage I read to you earlier, when they realize what's happening, they realize it's the wrath of the Lamb. That's going to be an awful time. Awful time, great worldwide earthquakes and all the devastation that follows that. Look on down, if you will, please, in chapter number 8 now. Turn over to chapter 8 and notice he continues showing us some of the things that are happening. This is God opening the seals. This is God opening the bowls and the seals and all the great judgment. Chapter number 8, look at verse number 7. And the first angel sounded and followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Listen, you think about what's going on. Death everywhere, no peace, people are panicking, looting, murdering, and now this natural disaster, the fire and hail that falls from heaven, and it burns up a third of the trees and all of the grass. What an awful picture. Look down a little further, and the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, and it's cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. I mean, this is all going on. This is massive destruction. I mean, the top of the oceans are just covered with decaying flesh of sea animals. All the creatures, and a third part of it becomes blood. What an awful picture. Notice a little further. You say, Brother Billy, is this figurative? I believe it's real. I believe it's just as real. Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed with figurative fire. They were incinerated. They were incinerated. This is all real. This is going to happen one of these days. That's why Paul said, thank God we've not been appointed to wrath. Thank God we've been delivered from the wrath to come. And what a blessing that is. Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 11, and the name of the star was called Wormwood, and a third part of the water became Wormwood, and many died of the water. That is a poisonous pollution that fills the water systems, and people die because of it. The water that's supposed to nourish their body, now they die of that. What an awful thing. Turn over to chapter 9, or look at chapter 9 right there at you, and look at verse number 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts from the earth, upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should kill them, but that they should not kill them, but they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Millions are dying, but here these demonic beings attack human beings, and to such agony and such pain as of a scorpion sting, they long to die, and they cannot die. Look at verse 18. And by these three were a third part of the men killed by fire and smoke and brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. Here, another great devastation, and another great number of people die. Turn, if you will, please. Let's go all the way over to chapter 16. And I'm coming to an end. I'll finish these several verses here in chapter 16, and we'll be through. But look in chapter 16. I'm just giving you a panoramic view. This is just your world in 60 seconds, as they do on the news. This is your world. This is what's going to happen. if you don't know Christ. If you're saved, thank God we're going to leave out of here. Thank God we've not been appointed a wrath. Thank God that He's delivered us from the wrath to come. But this time of judgment's coming. You say, I don't believe He'll do that. Ask all the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah if God keeps His word or not. You say, well, I can't find them. You can't find them. They were incinerated. And God will do that. Ask all those who lived during the days of Noah, during the days of the flood. No, the Bible said that everything that hath breath died. Everything in whose nostril was the breath of life died. This is the great time of God's judging sin of men. I mean, the wickedness of man, how wicked it's become. Notice what it says in chapter 16, verse 2. And the first went and poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell noisome and grievous sores upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped him. Here again, great sores covered, boils covered the bodies of people. Verse 3, the second poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood and of a dead man, and every soul died in the sea. You see the intensification of this judgment? A third part, a fourth, and then we come to this where all the seas of the earth turned to blood, literally. Did He turn the Nile to blood during the days of Moses? Yes, He did. And He'll turn this to blood, the seas and the ocean. Look, if you will, please, as He said, what He says in verse 4. And the angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains, and they became blood. Oh, everything, everywhere you go. I mean, the rivers now are blood, the seas are blood, and the fountains, like in our hall out here, that fountain is all turned to blood. Verse 5. And the angel of the waters said, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and Thou shalt give them blood to drink, for they are worthy. What an awful judgment. They've slain Christians, they rejected God, mocked God, and now God gives them blood to drink in Revelation chapter 16. In those verses I've just read to you now. Look at verse, again, 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had the power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Wouldn't you think that people in times of judgment would turn to God? Wouldn't you think that when they see their churches gone, the saints of God gone, that they would turn to God? The Bible said God sent them strong delusion, they might believe a lie, they might all be damned who believe not the truth. And here they're blaspheming the only one who could help them. They will not turn. They will not repent. You know what the Bible said of this age? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I'm glad I understood the truth of heaven. I understood the truth of hell and death. But my dear friend, it was the goodness of God that led me to repentance. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. And I understood how much He loved me. And that's what motivated me to come to Him. I didn't want to die and go to hell, but I understood He loved me. And He died for me and He wanted me to be saved. And thank God for that. Here the sun is allowed to scorch men and men die from that. What an awful thing. Look at verse number 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. They won't repent. Even with all this great judgment, all of what God's doing, they're not repenting. God judging them according to their sin in this great time of tribulation. There are a lot of things going on simultaneous to this. I'm not emphasizing that this morning in the nation of Israel and those who are redeemed. People do get saved during this time, but not those who've heard the gospel. But I'm emphasizing this morning that wrath to come. And the sun was increased, intensified, it scorched them, and now all of a sudden total darkness. And they gnaw their tongue for pain. Look at verse 20. The great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and great Babylon came to remember before God and to give in the cup of the wine of the fierceness. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. What great devastation, just the crumbling down of this sphere we call earth, this place we call home. It's a great judgment on this earth and all the inhabitants thereof. And they repent not. They repent not of the deeds that what he said. Let me go quickly now to Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, and look at verse 15. Here is a scene at what we call the Great White Throne Judgment. And he said, "Whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I think about those people who lived during the days of Noah. I'm not sure how long they actually lived when the water began to cover the earth, how long it took them to die. I think maybe just a matter of moments, maybe 30 minutes. Maybe they clung to something for some period of time, and then there was such an upheaval of the fountains of the deep being broken up and all of that, and I don't know how long they actually lived. I'm sure there were many cries of panic and pleading and begging. But the day of grace was over. And here we saw this, God's judging the world during this time of tribulation. Thank God I'm going to miss it. Thank God you're going to miss it if you know Christ. But he said this, there's something else for them later. Whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Hell is a real place. I'm thankful that God not only saved me from the wrath to come in the tribulation period, but he saved me from the flames of hell. I'm glad I won't have to be in hell for all eternity. Think about living through this time period, 7 years, and then being in hell for all eternity because they didn't trust Christ. My dear friend, now's the accepted time. Now's the time you need to repent. Now's the time you need to trust the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved. Now is the accepted time. Now you can get saved. I'm telling you, it's coming, and when it comes, it's going to be too late. It's coming soon. I believe that. Jesus is coming to rapture the church out, and this world will be plunged in the great tribulation. You read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. Small details, this, that, and the other. People vary on different things, but I'm just telling you right now, there is a day of wrath coming. There is a time of judgment coming, and it's coming very soon. You can avoid every bit of that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Savior and Lord. Paul said, what motivated Paul? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. He's saved and he has the love of Christ living inside of him. And that's why he wanted to see people saved. That's why he prayed and he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's why he was so moved. He said, I could even wish myself to be a curse for my kinsmen according to the flesh that they could be saved. He said, I know what it means to be lost. I know what it means to be saved. And he said, I wish they could be saved. I wish they'd repent. I wish they'd turn to him now. He was motivated by the love of Christ. But also he's motivated by this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of God, of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said, I know what's coming. He said, I know there's judgment coming. I know there's wrath coming. And he said, I don't want to see any of my friends go through that, any of my neighbors go through that. I want to see everybody I can save. Jesus is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to be saved now. And you need to trust him now. But I'm telling you, there's a time coming. When you look at the news and it looks like that everything's out of hand, understand this, God's still in control. Understand that everything's right on time. Wicked men will wax worse and worse. Every time you see it on the news, say that's just fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Understand that it's not as bad as it's going to be when God takes away all the restraint. But then when God begins to pull out the seals and the vials and the bowl, begins to judge this world, what great wrath. And he said, except there be a time limit on that, there'd be no flesh saved. Listen. It's an awful time coming. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God you're saved. But knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. I would challenge you today to be aware of what's going on in the world and understand this. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The wrath to come. You say, Brother Billy, you really believe that? I believe it's just as sure as I'm standing here. Many of you who love the Lord, you're saved. If you've not spoken it, it's gone through your mind. How in the world can the Lord let all this go on? Why did he do something? Can I tell you? He is going to do something. But the Bible said he's long-suffering. Even in Jude, in regard to Noah, he said, in God's long-suffering, in that while Noah prepared the ark, God's not willing that any should perish. He wants every person in the sound of my voice saying, but I'm telling you, there's something coming down the road. There is an appointed time of wrath. There's a time when God will pour out his wrath on this earth. It's called the tribulation period. A lot of things are going to happen during that time frame. That wasn't my intent this morning to kind of go into some, all of that. But the main thing is this, understand this, God will judge sin as surely as He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He is going to do something, but it's in His time and it's coming, I believe, very soon. Right now you can repent. Right now you can trust Christ. But the most chilling verse in all the Bible to you if you don't know Christ is this. And for this reason and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. Here's the truth, that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, that He was buried and He arose the third day according to the Scriptures. And He offers to you right now forgiveness of sin. He is your only hope of heaven. He's your only hope. And this is the time when you can trust Him now. I encourage you to do that. And for me and you who are saved, we need to pray, need to witness, need to seek God. And in order to give us a peace and a comfort to know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming and we'll be raptured out of here. And He says in that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That means to shore up or to support or to lean up to protect people. My dear friend, listen, it's a joy to me to know Jesus is coming again. My dear friend, there's going to be after that great wrath on this earth. It's in the Word of God. Read it. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you see it. But it ought to be a motivation to you to pray. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men, not willing that any should perish. The Lord said He's not willing that any should perish. But this, understand this, there's a clock ticking and it's going to come to an end. It's coming to an end. Heavenly Father, I've tried to mind You this morning. I've tried as best I could, our Father, not to, in the flesh or anything else, dramatize the truth that's more dramatic than I could ever express. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will take the Word of God, that sharp sword, and pierce even to the divide and the joints of marrow, and Lord, that it will pierce in the hearts this morning, and that somebody would be saved, some person would trust Jesus Christ. Our Father, thank You for saving us, forgiving all of our sin. Thank You for saving our life from a life of destruction. God, You've forgiven us, and God, You've allowed us to have family. Lord, You've blessed us so many ways, physically and financially. And God, You've given us a wonderful life here in this world because we trust You as Savior. But most of all, thank You, Father, You forgave all of our sin, and that heaven's our home, and that You've not appointed us to wrath, and that we will leave one of these days through the rapture. And I pray, God, that You'd help us, our Father, to trust You and encourage one another with these truths. And then, Lord, help us to be challenged to share the gospel. I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet, please, if you would, with your heads bowed. Just stand to your feet. We're not going to be very long this morning. Brad has a song on his heart. Have him sing a couple of verses. I want to just challenge you this morning. Understand this, thank God He's not appointed us to wrath, and He hath delivered us from the wrath to come. But just as sure as I'm standing here, it's coming. It's coming. He will not let it go on. A writer in days gone by, I believe, aptly said and truthfully said, if God does not judge America, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you, that's true worldwide. He will not tolerate it much longer. He has a plan. He's got a timetable. Right now you can repent. Right now you can get saved. If you're not saved, I encourage you to come this morning. If I can help you any way, I want to do it. If you're saved, you ought to once again thank Him for saving you and thank Him that He's not appointed you to wrath, but already delivered you from the wrath to come.